May our words and thoughts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The story of Jesus in the synagogue on the Sabbath in Nazareth. Not an unusual story from the time. Somebody who had started showing inclinations towards being a teacher, who spoke God's word. When he comes into the synagogue, they hand him a scroll. And it's a great honor to read the scripture in the synagogue. And he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Jesus, as any educated person at that time, and that would have been most people, would have been very familiar with the scroll, with the story of the prophet Isaiah. And he selected a text which we would now call his mission statement. This is right at the start of his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Now, this actually comes from Isaiah 61. And it comes in a particular context in the prophet Isaiah, because the Jews were returning from exile. They'd been in exile in Babylon, and they were coming back to see the ruins of their holy city, Jerusalem, to see the ruined city, but more important than that, for them, the ruined temple. There was nothing left of the temple. And we heard a little bit in our first reading from Nehemiah of some of the rebuilding that went on. But Jesus quotes from Isaiah and talks about rebuilding the ancient ruins and restoring the places long devastated. And that's the context within which these words of Jesus are spoken, in the context of destruction, against the backdrop of all the negative things that have been happening to the people of Israel as they've been taken off into captivity, in the context of all the negative parts of the Israelite history, where time and again they have been the victims of conquering armies. And it's in that context that in Isaiah 61 we have really quite an extraordinary turnaround, where Isaiah writes, instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. So they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. That's incredibly positive when they've just seen the destruction of all they hold dear. And Jesus uses part of this very positive message in a very personal way. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And then he goes on to say, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that's where the Isaiah bit stops, but not Jesus' reading. He gives a little bit of a commentary on it and says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, that's a fairly arrogant thing to say. To say to the people that were listening, this prophecy about the Messiah coming to proclaim God's kingdom is going to be fulfilled in me, is a powerful thing to say. And if we read on in the story, which we didn't have today, we get the real sense that the Jews got very, very worked up and tried to put him to death. Why did they get so worked up? Well, he was making this scripture from Isaiah his own. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Very personal. God is with me. The Spirit of God is traditionally seen as being with the prophets. But he goes further. He's claiming that the Spirit of the Lord is with him. Because, and this is where it goes further than the idea of the Spirit of God with the prophets, because he has anointed me. Who is the anointed one of God? He is the Messiah. The king was anointed, and he was seen as God's representative on earth. So when Jesus said, because he has anointed me, Jesus was claiming to be God's representative on earth. And then he says, he sees himself as doing two things. Firstly, helping the underdogs of society. Well, we pick up stories week by week as we go through the Bible, especially Luke's Gospel. We pick up stories of Jesus making a point of reaching out to people who are the also-rans of society. People like lepers, people who were ritually unclean, people like tax collectors, Sabbath breakers, the sick, those people who were cursed by God according to the law. Jesus reaches out, and Jesus mixed with such people, and he's very heavily criticized for that. How many times do we hear people criticizing him for eating with the wrong sort of people? He eats with tax collectors and sinners, they say. You might be thinking of one particular story where he eats in the house of Simon the Pharisee, and there's nothing wrong with that, but he allows this woman of ill repute to come and anoint his feet and to wash his feet. That was shocking. That was shocking to the people of the time. And it is another example of Jesus reaching beyond the bounds of what is acceptable, what is normal, and touching people who were outside of the law. And Jesus not only accepts her gift of anointing in that particular story, he also forgives her. And that's blasphemy, because only God can forgive. So he gets in more trouble with the authorities. Time after time, throughout the gospel, Jesus sides with the outcast. And in doing that, he's really snubbing the righteous and the good. At least that's how they feel. And in the end, as we know, he identifies so closely with the outsiders that he's crucified. And when he is crucified, this is the ultimate part of the story, according to the law, he is cursed by God. The law says anybody who is hanged on a tree is cursed. So Jesus, who identifies with those outside of the law, also becomes outside the law himself. He becomes an outcast. So one thing that Jesus does he identifies with those who are outside of the law. And the other thing that he does in this, using this text from Isaiah 61, he proclaims the year of the Lord's favour. He ushers in God's kingdom. And again, that's the job of the Messiah. Nobody else can do that, only God's anointed one. So it's another claim about who he is. And how does he do that? How does he usher in God's kingdom? By showing care for others. By showing care for people who are not normally included in God's blessing. And by showing that in doing that, in showing care for the outsider, the outcast, the also-ran, he is actually doing God's will. And when God's will is done, then God's kingdom has come. That should sound a bit familiar, because we say it every time we come to church. God's will be done. God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's a fundamental part of our belief that when God's will is done, God's kingdom has come. At least in the hearts of his followers, if not in the rest of the world. This passage, this very small passage which Jesus reads in the synagogue at Nazareth, is of all the passages which Jesus could have chosen, the closest to Jesus' ministry. It's a true mission statement of Jesus' purpose and ministry. Not only is it Jesus' mission statement, but it should be ours too. Because we should be concerned for others, especially those who have no one to answer for them, who are outside of the power structures. We are the people of God, and our responsibility is to point to signs of God's kingdom. And I wonder how much we do point others to that kingdom where the poor are cared for, the sick are made whole, the blind see, and so on. How much do we stand up for those values? That's what we're called to do, and that is our challenge. For each one of us to show God's care for all people in our actions, especially, and there is this bias to the poor, the powerless. And that's a disturbing thing to do. It certainly disturbed the Jewish authorities when Jesus did it, so much so that they ultimately killed him. And it will disturb us if we try it, if we try to put the needs of the poor and the powerless and the also-rans first. But that is our mission, should we choose to take it. And we have made a declaration in our baptism that we do choose to take it. The mission of Jesus and our mission is this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Let us read that again and again and ask ourselves how much we fall into that mission statement, how much that describes our lives, our life of faith, our everyday life. Because it should be our guiding principle each and every day. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.